Good evening, Twin Cities. This is your host, Clarence Jones, and welcome to Community Health Dialogue. Tonight on our show, we have Dr. Nathan Chamolo, who is the medical director for the state of Minnesota Medicaid and Minnesota Care Programs. And he also practices as a general pediatrician with Park Nicollet Health Services or Health Partners. He also served as the state of Minnesota COVID-19 Vaccine Equity Director and is currently a senior advisor on equity to the Minnesota Commissioner of Health. And Ms. Houghton Goulet, is the Chief Executive Officer at Breva Health. I hope I said that right? Okay.
Have, yep.
Okay. An organization dedicated to improving healthcare access for all Minnesotans. Under her leadership, it's expanded services to become the largest organization of its kind in Minnesota and serves more than 25,000 Minnesotans a year. And then in 2016, a small group of navigators came together to advocate for a sustainable navigator system and to address barriers that prevented consumers from obtaining and retaining affordable health care. They call themselves the Navigator Coalition. And this coalition has grown to more than 30 organizations serving residents across the state. And they work daily to address challenges and make health care coverage accessible to everyone in Minnesota. And that is Ms. Demetria Kelly. Thank you. And welcome all of you to our program of Community Health Dialogues. So tonight's program is around Medicaid. Now, Medicaid is a state and federal program that provides health insurance that covers a broad array of health services for people, including families and children with low incomes, older adults, and people with disabilities. But as you all know, we just kind of talked about this a little bit ago. The last few years has created many changes and challenges for our community. The need for health care and coverage has never been more evident, and that is the reason for our show tonight. So I want to thank you again for being here because our listeners are going to learn a lot about Medicaid and why they should be concerned. So first of all, we're going to start with you, Dr. Chamolo. What brings you to the show tonight?
Yeah, good evening, Clarence. So I'm here for, wearing a number of hats. You introduced me as the medical director for the state of Minnesota's Medicaid program. I'm a practicing pediatrician in Brooklyn Center. But I'm also, a father, a son, a brother, someone who is a man of faith and this changes impact our community in a number of ways. And so I grew up in Minnesota, left for college, came back from medical school, and have lived in Minneapolis ever since. And really have kind of focused my practice on how can our healthcare system better really be guided by the community? How can we see less inequity, less disparity, less racism in our healthcare system? And so really part of that is getting the message out when these changes happen. I think in the past, a lot of changes happen behind the scenes. They impact our community and we're not really aware of it. And so here tonight to kind of walk folks through what those changes are, how they might not impact you directly, but they certainly likely impact someone in your community, and how we can all stay healthy together.
Thank you. Holden, how are you?
Good. Thank you so much for having me here today. And thank you for really discussing a very important topic in our community. Clarence, obviously, I do run one of the largest Navigator organizations in the state. And through that process in the last 10 years, we learned so much about our communities and what their needs are. And so today I am here to really explain to our communities how they can best get the service that they need and how they can access healthcare in the easiest way possible. Because as you can imagine, health insurance can be so confusing. There's so many facets to it. I mean, me personally, I'm learning every day even more than I know. And I'm here today to be able to simply explain that to our community so that they don't fall off of coverage and they can get the healthcare that they need for them and their families.
Thank you. Demetria.
Yes, thank you so much, Clarence, and thank you so much, Hodan and Dr. Chomilo. I know we have a lot of work to do, but it's just so important that I'm here today because I really want to make sure that all of the organizations from around the state of Minnesota are heard and that we're working together collectively to assist our community with making sure we have access to affordable health care. That's our goal. And so I am so glad the coalition has been formed and has been growing, and our membership is increasing every single day, to ensure that we're here to help our consumers.
Thank you. Thank you all for that. Medicaid. Why do we need to talk about it? Dr. Chimlo, let's start with you.
Sure. Yeah, I think you gave us a great primer. You know, Medicaid is our state's public health insurance, funded both by the state and the federal government, to help folks with lower incomes access healthcare. And so over the course of time, our Medicaid program has grown. The Affordable Care Act or Obamacare brought more folks into it. Even before that, Minnesota Care brought a lot of folks into it. And during the COVID-19 pandemic, you know, when the pandemic first hit, I think Congress wisely realized we don't want folks in the middle of a global pandemic to not have access to healthcare, not have access to see their doctors, to get things like tests and eventually treatments and vaccines. And so they changed some of the policies where prior to the pandemic, folks had to re-verify or re-enroll in their Medicaid coverage by submitting paperwork that talked about their income and how much money their household had to see if they or their loved ones qualified to get insurance through the state. That was all put on hold for 3 years. And basically, as folks in Washington thought we were moving out of the emergency phase of the pandemic, they changed things back to the way they were before. But that while that was happening, our enrollments statewide grew to 1.5 million Minnesotans covered through the state's healthcare insurance program. So that's roughly 1 in 4 Minnesotans. So again, really likely that you know someone that is covered through that our healthcare program. And we know in our community, those numbers are even more notable. So amongst Black Minnesotans, about 40% of Black Minnesotans get their coverage through our state health programs. When you look amongst different ages, we see even higher numbers amongst our children. You know, up to 60% of our children get their coverage through our state health programs. And amongst our mothers and birthing persons, about 80% of them get their healthcare coverage through our state healthcare programs. And so a lot of folks got access and maintained access through the pandemic. And now we're at a period where everyone has to re-enroll or redetermine, meaning they have to actually fill out paperwork because and we'll talk a little bit about our process here. We have to fill out paperwork, send it in to make sure you maintain that coverage. You don't show up to the clinic or the pharmacy trying to get seen or get your medications and told that your coverage has lapsed.
Yeah. Thank you, Dr. Chimlo, for that overview. Holden, I want to ask you specifically, why is this important for your community?
So this, especially for our Black and Brown communities, this is super important. And the reason is, in the past 3 years, as Dr. Chimlo was just explaining, a lot of folks, everybody has been automatically renewed. So what that means is, before the pandemic, everyone used to get a paperwork that says, hey, it's time to renew, go ahead and sign this sheet of paper and send it back. And folks were so used to doing that. The reason this period is so important is because in the last 3 years, they were automatically renewed. So what that means is people just got used to getting automatic renewals. And all of a sudden, now we're making this huge shift where a lot of folks are going to be falling off of coverage because they don't know that they have to respond and they have to fill out that form and send it back. So what we've been seeing, Clarence, unfortunately, is thousands and thousands of our people falling off of coverage right now. And many of them have no clue that they are actually, that's what's happening. So what's important is for us to really be able to explain to our communities what they need to do, the steps that they need to take in order to keep their coverage, especially for their children. I mean, as you can imagine, a lot of these kids need to go to the doctor pretty often, especially those little ones. So we want to make sure that folks know what they need to do today to make sure that that doesn't happen to them. So, yeah, I'm hoping that I can explain that a little bit more.
Thank you. Demetria, for your organization, why is this issue important?
Oh, it's very important. Of course, similar to what Hodan said, Hodan is on our steering committee as part of our leadership and within the coalition, which is formed with 12 other steering committee members. But it's just really important. The role of navigators within the Black and Brown communities is pivotal. Navigators can help explain the healthcare marketplace to those in our community. And I just think it's important because we need to know if our healthcare coverage has been dropped or if we need to renew. Like, we need to know that. And a lot of times there's barriers in place whether it's transportation, whether it's resources, whether it's technology, whether it's language. So we just need to make sure that we are accessible to our communities, and we are increasing our percentage of Black and Brown people that have healthcare coverage, and continue to help assist in that area.
You know, it's interesting when we started talking about this, and I talked to Helen about this, but when we started talking about Medicaid, one of the concerns that I had was that for those people that don't have Medicaid, they don't understand how important it is. So I want you to be really clear with me and share with me who's really being impacted by this, and are there some ripple effects that happens within our community as a result of this issue? So Dr. Chimel, we'll start with you. Who's really being impacted by this issue?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all are, because, you know, health is important for opportunity really broadly. And you think about, if you're not healthy starting from a young age, you're not going to be growing and developing as we expect. You show up to school, it's harder to focus. Maybe you don't do as well as you potentially could. You go into the workforce, are missing work, you're not able to show up and perform. And so, you know, health, you're not able to take care of your family the way you want to. And so, you know, I think health is really critical. And so health, access to health care, we know, does make a difference. Particularly, you know, looking at Medicaid specifically, there's evidence when children have access to Medicaid versus children who are uninsured, they're more likely to be healthy. They're more likely to stay in school, make it through class. They're more likely to graduate. They're more likely to go to college. They're more likely to make more money as they become adults. And then they're less likely to be needing public assistance as they get older. And so, you know, Medicaid really is an important tool to help us reach our full health and potential. And you know, we all of us never know, you know, when we might end up needing the help of Medicaid. And so it's really important to understand how the system works and how we can help folks navigate it. What we've seen so far with the renewal efforts is that, you know, 60% of Minnesotans roughly have taken action and renewed their coverage, but that means 40% haven't. And a lot of that is due to the process and just being aware of it, whether or not we have the right address to send a paper application, because unfortunately in Minnesota we're still a system that requires a paper application. This isn't like some of the other states and other things that folks got used to, just signing up on their phone. And so just that awareness is really crucial, just so that you know when you get that letter in the mail with the blue mark that you actually take it out, fill it out, so that you can stay connected to healthcare. You know, it was brought up, like, we're entering the cold and flu season, right? And a lot of kids are going to end up getting colds, and parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles are going to need to take them in. And you don't want to show up in the middle of the night to have your kids seen and be told, oh, you know, sorry, they don't have insurance, or we can see them, but you're going to get a big bill because they're currently, you know, not covered. And so, you know, really giving folks that information ahead of time so that when they get that notice, they can take action and that we can stay connected to healthcare, because it really does make a difference in the health and opportunity that we all see.
Thank you, Dr. Chumlo. You know, I told you I was a prober, right? So let's mm-hmm. probe a little bit more. Let's talk about more specifically, because I think that what I want to do is this, is that we know, and you talked about this, it impacts all of us. Let's start naming some folks. I think Dr. Chumlo started off by talking about aunts and uncles. Who are other people that are impacted by this issue? And they may not be us, but it may be somebody that we know, so that people can understand why it's important to talk about this. Because we're talking about low income, you know, talk to me. Holden and Demetria, talk to me.
Yeah. Clarence, you know, in 2013, which is almost 10 years ago, right? Obamacare came into being. And since Obamacare in Minnesota, we saw a significant reduction in the number of people that don't have health insurance. Because mm-hmm. of that law, we were able to reduce the uninsured rate in Black and Brown communities, especially to the lowest level ever, okay? But then what happened, Clarence, during the pandemic is in the white community, the uninsured rate went down to the historic lowest at like 2%. But then mm-hmm. in the BIPOC community, it actually increased to more than 10%. So that tells you, even though we do have more people that are insured on Medicaid than ever before, right? 1.5 million. Still, during the pandemic, the impact of what has happened has been significantly worse for our communities. Okay. So then you have a lot more people walking around who are uninsured in our communities. Number one. Number two, because of everything that's happening with the renewals right now, thousands of our people are falling off of coverage. And that's not good because it's going to continue happening. So what's really important is, you know, how do we make sure that folks stay covered? Because if they don't, right, they're going to have chronic diseases that they don't know about. There's a lot of people walking around with diabetes, high blood pressure, and other chronic diseases, right? We have a lot more kids who now are not immunized because of the pandemic. So there's a lot of things happening in our communities that were previously already weren't accessing information on healthcare, and the pandemic just made it worse. So that's where we're at right now, and we want to make sure that that gets to improve in the next few years as we all embark on this mission.
Thank you. Dimitri.
I agree. Yeah, I was going to say, Hodan, well said, Hodan. I know we talked a lot about those numbers during the pandemic and after. And I know we also have to just look at the social determinants of health within our communities, right? If we are not, if we're uninsured, we're not going to go to get our preventive care. We're not going to go see a doctor regularly. We're going to probably avoid our normal routine checkups. And then what happens? We do that, then most likely our children don't have insurance either. So then they don't get those same checkups. So we're not preventing or identifying if we do have health issues early on. So we can try to combat it or try to focus on how we can really ensure that we're healthy, we're safe. And not only that, if we have health insurance, we're able to really have like a good quality of life because we're able to really focus on our environment. How are we staying safe? How is our social environment, our housing, our food? I mean, it's just so many different areas. And so when you say, who does this impact, Clarence? It impacts us individually first, impacts our families, and then it's going to impact our children and the next generation to come.
Thank you.
And I'm going to add one other thing too. Okay. It impacts our pocketbooks, right? You know, yes. There's actually evidence from the Obamacare expansion that folks who had healthcare coverage, they are less likely to go bankrupt because they didn't fall into medical debt, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you think about if you might feel good now, but you never know what happens tomorrow. You wake up, you're ill, mm-hmm. you're in an accident, you end up in the emergency department. You don't have coverage. You get a big bill that could really set your whole life, your family's life on a different trajectory. And so really thinking about how taking care of this can take that burden off financially. There's additional benefits to Medicaid in Minnesota where you still have access to things like COVID-19 tests for free until September of next year. If you're covered through the state's health insurance, you can still get those free tests for COVID-19. There's even changes that were done this last legislative session so that you don't have those things like co-pays or deductibles. So when you're showing up mm-hmm. to see your doctor, you're not going to have to pay out of pocket if you're covered on our state health insurance programs, right? And so I think financially is one thing that we kind of undervalue the role that health insurance really plays in making sure that we can do what we want to do.
I'm going to ask you this question. What does the community need to do and how can we assist? So we're going to take about 2 minutes apiece. We're going to start with you, Hodan, first. You're first. What do we need to do and then how can we assist in this process?
Sure. So there's a couple of things that are really, really important for the community to do. In the last 3 years, if you're somebody who is on Medicaid or if your family is on Medicaid, it's very important that you reach out to your county if you have moved from your previous address during the pandemic. So it's super important. Reach out to your county. Let them know that you've moved, what your new address is. The second thing to do is look out for the big white envelope that has a blue circle on it that says important information inside. That will help you know that that's the Medicaid renewal or the what we call here in Minnesota medical assistance renewal paperwork. That paperwork is pretty long. It's much longer than you're used to. In the past, it used to be a couple of pages. All you had to do was sign and send it back. This time, it's not like that. It's brand new. It's several pages long. You have to fill out, and there's a lot of information they're asking. So make sure that you fill out all that information. If it seems very complex for you to fill that out, we are available. There are navigators all across the state. There's hundreds of them, right, that you can connect with, including Breva and other navigator organizations across the state. If you call Minsure, or if you go on minsure.org, they will be able to connect you to the, you know, nearest available navigator in your neighborhood. So those are very, very important. And there's a timeline on that paperwork and making sure that you return that renewal paperwork within that given timeline. It's usually within 30 to 45 days.
Right. Thank you. Demetria.
Yes, so, and I was going to just add on to, go ahead.
No, your turn.
Okay, thanks, Clarence. I was just going to add on to what Hodan said. So us as a Navigator Coalition, we're here to be a resource to help. And so navigators, you know, trying to really navigate this really complex system can be very daunting and scary, to say the least, right? You don't know where to start, who to go to. Even if you do start, what does this information look like? How do we really bring this down to levels that a person can really understand, right? So here we are, the role of navigators, we're individuals, organizations, we come in, we're trained to help consumers. So yes, you will get the notice in the mail. And then if you don't know, if you're like, what is this? Reach out to a navigator in your area. You can go to our website, navigatorcoalition.org. You can go to Minsure, but just, we are here to help you. And so navigators are trained to help consumers understand their healthcare coverage options, really work through and navigate this complex system, and really help determine their eligibility, and then help them ultimately enroll in coverage. Or if they already have coverage, make sure that their information is up to date. So we're here to assist you. So if you feel like you're not sure, or you need to know your status, feel free to reach out to a navigator, and we're here in the community. There's over 500 navigators across the state that are able to assist with different language proficiencies and all of those things. And so we just want to make sure that you all have the information you need to get connected.
Thank you. Dr. Trumbull, you have the last words.
Yeah, I mean, I think my colleagues here, Hodan and Demetria, really summed it up. You know, it's being aware, making sure that your information is up to date. I think one thing to know about the process is, you know, it's a little different than about going and getting like a test or a vaccine. You know, now that you're aware, you do have, there's certain times. We're not re-enrolling everyone, all 1.5 million folks at once. We're doing it based on the month that you signed up for insurance, or that your child or loved one signed up for insurance. And so if you don't know that, there is a tool to look it up at Renew My Coverage. So if you just Google DHS Renew My Coverage, you can go to our website, find a renewal lookup tool to find what month you are due for your renewal and when you should expect that packet in the mail. And it's going to be an ongoing process through June of next year. And so just, you know, continue to be on the lookout for that information. And then, you know, I think there are some exciting changes coming into our program. Starting in January, all children up to age 21 will be continuously enrolled for 12 months. So once you do submit that paperwork, your child will be continuously enrolled for 12 months. And then starting in January of 2025, all children 6 and under, once you've submitted the paperwork, they'll be continuously enrolled until their 6th birthday. So you won't have to keep going through that process for our children under the age of 6 starting in 2025. And so you really are trying to learn some of the lessons from the pandemic, keep people connected. But as we are doing that, as we are trying to make these changes in a system that has long not served us to serve us better, we need folks to be aware and help out where they can to make sure that we all stay connected, all stay healthy.
Great. Thank you. Chimelo, Holden, and Demetria, thank you. Thank you for sharing information with our community about Medicaid and the importance of this. And listeners, I want to thank you for listening to Community Health Dialogues, and we will talk with you again next week. Have a great evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.